Chapter 88. The B-2 Spirit had been airborne for over 5 hours. Taking off from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, the wedge-shaped stealth bomber had flown west on what appeared to be a normal training flight. But 500 miles out over the Pacific, the black and gray aircraft, which resembled a giant matter ray in flight, turned northeast, flying toward the coast of Washington State. AC-016 bearing 078 degrees, the mission commander said in a soft Carolina accent. She's right on time.
I've got her, replied the pilot.
Tweaking the throttles on the four turbofan jet engines, he banked the plane by thrust until matching the flight bearing, then closed in on a small white target visible out the cockpit window. Satisfied with his position, the pilot backed off on the throttles to match the speed of the leading aircraft. Less than a quarter mile ahead and 1,000 feet below was an Air Canada Boeing 777, bound for Toronto from Hong Kong. The pilots aboard the commercial airliner would have choked had they known a billion-dollar bomber was tailing them into Canadian airspace. With a nearly invisible radar signature, the crew of the B-2 need not have worried about hiding in the 777's shadow to complete their mission. But with heightened military alerts on both sides of the border, they were taking no chances. The bomber tailed the jetliner over Vancouver and across British Columbia into Alberta. Approximately 50 miles west of Calgary, the Canadian airliner made a slight course adjustment to the southeast. The B-2 held its position, then veered sharply to the northeast. Its target was the Canadian Forces base at Cold Lake, Alberta, one of two Canadian air bases that housed F-18 fighter jets. A quarter stick of 7 500-pound laser-guided bombs was to be dropped on the airfield with the intent to damage or destroy as many fighter jets as possible while minimizing loss of life. With no response from the Canadian government after his 24-hour admonition, the president had elected to halve the first strike recommendation from the Pentagon and proceed with an attack on a single military installation.
8 minutes to target, the mission commander announced. Performing final weapons arming now.
As he cycled through a computerized weapons control sequence, an urgent radio call suddenly transmitted over their headsets.
Death 52, Death 52, this is command, came the unexpected call from Whiteman. You are ordered to abort mission. I repeat, we have a mission abort. Please stand down and acknowledge. Over.
The mission commander acknowledged receipt of the last-minute command, then immediately cycled down the bomber's armaments. The pilot slowly reversed course, flying back toward the Pacific before setting a course to their home airbase.
The boss man cut it a little close there, the pilot said a short while later. You're telling me, the mission commander replied, a deep sense of relief in his voice. That's one mission I'm glad was scrubbed.
Gazing out at the Canadian Rockies passing beneath their wings, he added,
I just hope nobody else finds out how close we really came.